Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to Enviro Infra Engineers Limited Q1 FY26 earnings conference call. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during this conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star, then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. This conference call may contain forward-looking statements about the company, which are based on the beliefs, opinions, and expectations of the company as on date of this call. These statements are not a guarantee of future performance and involve risks and uncertainties that are difficult to predict. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Sanjay Jain, Chairman and Whole-Time Director. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you, Arshu. Good afternoon, everyone. A very warm welcome to Enviro Infra Engineers Limited Q1 FY26 earnings conference call. I sincerely thank you for joining us today. We are joined on this call by Mr. Manish Jain, our Managing Director, along with the Investor Relations team from Adfactors PR. The results presentation has already been shared, and I trust you have had the opportunity to review it. As we begin the new financial year, I am proud to share that Enviro Infra Engineers has maintained its position as one of India's leading players in water and waste treatment, delivering high-quality, technologically advanced solutions across countries. Our focus remains firmly on treating, recycling, and reusing water, ensuring sustainable resource management for industries and cities alike. In Q1 FY26, we secured fresh orders worth approximately 1,178 crores, a strong endorsement of our technical expertise and ability to execute large, complex, and sustainability-driven projects. Key among these was our foray into ZLD, Zero Liquid Discharge segment, with a 395 crore CETP project in Maharashtra. Deploying advanced ultrafiltration, reverse osmosis, and MVR, mechanical vapor recompression technology, to achieve near-total reuse of treated wastewater. We also expanded our geographical footprint, adding new projects in high-growth markets such as Maharashtra and Odisha. These include tertiary treatment plants, advanced ultrafiltration systems, and long-term O&M contracts, all designed to deliver lasting values and environmental benefits. While wastewater remains our primary focus, this quarter also saw a strategic step into the renewable energy sector by securing two solar assets, one in Maharashtra and the other one in Odisha. This diversification complements our sustainability-led approach and opens an additional avenue for clean energy integration in our projects. Our total execution order book stands at around 2,051 crore, spread across 21 active projects, backed by a healthy O&M portfolio of around 946 crore that provides steady long-term revenue visibility. With that, I would now like to hand over to our Managing Director, Mr. Manish Jain, to take you through the financial and operational highlights of the quarter. Mr. Manish.
Thank you, Sanjay sir, and good afternoon to everyone on the call. I shall now take you through our financial performance for the first quarter of FY26. In Q1 FY26, revenue from operations stood at 241 crores, reflecting a year-on-year growth of 17.4%, driven primarily by the execution of our key water and wastewater treatment projects. EBITDA for the quarter came in at rupees 64 crore compared to rupees 51 crore in Q1 FY25, up 25.2% year-on-year, with stable margins of 26.7%. Profit after tax grew by 41.8% year-on-year to 42 crores with a PAT margin of 17%. Operationally, it has been a transformative quarter with the order wins which enforce our technical capabilities in delivering complex wastewater treatment, tertiary treatment infrastructure, and ZLD space, aligning with company's goal for sustainable urban water management. Globally, over 80% of the wastewater is discharged, and water scarcity is set to affect more than half of world's population by 2030. This makes our expertise in recycling and reuse not just relevant but urgent. The wastewater reuse market, already valued at $22 billion, is growing rapidly. And Enviro-Infra Engineers is at the forefront in India, combining scale, advanced technology, and execution excellence. Finally, I want to express the cyber fraud incident which happened in the company, amounting to ₹11.15 crore detected during the quarter until 1st of July. Of this, ₹2.5 crore has been recovered. Approximately 0.6 crore is lying seized in different accounts in which the funds got transferred. Court has issued orders to bank to release the amount seized in different accounts to EIEL account. FIR has already been filed and NCRP, National Cyber Crime Reporting Portal. So investigations are underway. ₹4.95 crore has been charged under exceptional item in Q1. As a measure of accountability and to avoid any financial losses to the company, our chairman, Sanjay sir, and I have voluntarily forgone our remuneration till the loss is fully recovered. We are working closely with the authorities and have further strengthened the internal controls to prevent reoccurrence. This concludes my remark. We can now open the floor for questions.
Thank you, sir. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question is from the line of Sandeep Sabharwal from AskSandeepSabharwal.com. Please go ahead, sir.
Yeah, so as I understand, most of your contracts seem to be coming from the state government. Could let me know how much percentage of contracts are from the state governments and what is typically your receivable cycle?
All of the projects, I will say, are from the state governments only, because all the state governments and the state government bodies remain to be the owning agencies. It can be a centrally sponsored scheme or centrally funded scheme in totality. So it will all be the state governments who owns these assets. Our receivable cycle, working capital cycle, is generally in the range of around 90 days. So in March FY25, we have been able to maintain our working capital cycle at a typical level of around 90 days, which covers inventory, unbilled revenue receivables, trade receivables, and on the other side, the trade payables. So the net impact of this, the net working capital cycle is 90 days.
It's been observed lately by many of the companies which we are tracking on the, like some companies which are doing Jal Jeevan Mission projects and all those other projects where money had to come from the state government because of these various income distribution schemes. So government finances are stressed. And I have historically seen last many, like 2-3 decades, typically companies which rely largely on state government projects get into a receivable issue at some stage or the other. So what strategies are you taking to protect yourself against this?
Basically, first of all, I'll clarify on the JGM aspect. In the last financial year and starting from March 2024, there was some issue with respect to the release of funds from the center. There was an intended timeline of completion of JGM scheme by March 24. Since the scheme was not completed, the general election timelines, so these were announced. So because the code of conduct was in place, the timeline and validity of the scheme that was not enhanced, it kept pending, so the funds could not be released. Even in July budget, the timelines were not increased. This has been done in the full year budget in February 2025. So there has been an issue with respect to the release of funds. Rather, I will say the state governments were funding, but there was a slowdown or delay in release of funds from the center. So this JGM scheme in itself is a centrally funded scheme in which a part of fund is from the center and a part of fund from the state. Now, if we look into the entire water and wastewater treatment sector in India, basically this sector is a government-driven sector. There are various types of government-funded or sponsored schemes, like JGM, Amrut 2, Namami Gange. So there is a different set of central funding which is involved in all these projects. The funds used to move smoothly. There has been just one year in the, it was last financial year, wherein there has been a delay. Now, if we look into the order book of EnviroInfra Engineers as on 1st of April 2025, so we had an outstanding order book position of 175 crore from JGM and with execution of another 64-65 crore from JGM. So our net order book from JGM remains at around 110 crore. We are not bidding for any of the projects further in JGM. We are fairly concentrating under Amrut or Namami Gange, multilateral agencies projects or common effluent treatment plants, wherein the land bank is directly available with the government bodies or the industrial development corporation, and they are having their own funds available for executing the projects.
Out of the 2,100 crore order book, which I think you have, how much of it is centrally or multilaterally funded and how much is purely by the state government?
There is not even a single project which is only the state government funded. All the projects are central driven projects wherein some central funding is involved. If it is Namami Gange, it is 100% central funding. If it is Amrut, it is 25% center along with 75% share from state and ULB combined. Or JGM, which is 50% from both. And if I'm talking about CETP, so it is Industrial Development Corporation, so they are having their own funds. So we do have a clear visibility of funds in across the entire order book which the company has.
All right, thank you.
Thank you. Participants, if you wish to ask a question, you may press star and one on your touchtone telephone. The next question is from the line of Mr. Aniket Jain from Yes Securities. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon, sir. I have two questions. Number one would be, do you plan to get into desalination or do you have the technology or key qualifications to even bid for the desalination projects? That would be number one. I'll ask number two again after this.
Okay. Basically, if I talk about desalination, desalination in itself is RO process. So the ZLD project in Maharashtra, which we have backed, so definitely we are entering into this particular segment. we'll be entering into some joint ventures right now for bidding and entering into desalination projects as well, and we do have the technical capabilities available for the execution. So once we do have the experiences with us in the desalination sector and the RO sector, then we'll be in a position to bid on our own.
Understood, sir. And the second one would be, since you have won your first ZLD project, so I just wanted to understand what is the margin differential between ZLD and usual STP or WTP projects? So are ZLD much more margin accretive than the usual projects?
Aniket, basically, if you see the way the complexity of any of the project will increase, so definitely the margin profile is expected to improve. So ZLD project in itself is highly technically competitive project, so the margins in it will be equivalent to the margins that you project for any of the common effluent treatment plant projects. So it will be in the range of somewhere around 30%.
That's pretty high. So do you expect to, or are there more ZLD orders or tenders in the market, and can we expect more ZLD orders this year or probably next year?
There are clear-cut guidelines from NGT to go for ZLD plants only for across all the industrial areas. So one day or the other, all the industrial areas will have to switch over to ZLD technologies itself. So this opens up a very, very big market in India for this particular sector, so that the water, treated water, which is permeated, so that is reused in the industries again. So this is going to gain momentum in future.
Understood, sir. Sorry, just I have one more. So your order book of 2,551 crores. So what is the tentative timeline to execute this orders, this backlog, and how much of this will be executed this year?
Let me break into two parts. First of all, there was an order book of 1,185 crore which we carried from the last financial year as on 1st of April, which was available to us. So basically, that order book, that time, that there was a timeline of 24 months for its execution. So when we are carrying it from the past, so I will say for this particular order book, the timeline is almost this financial year. So around 80-85% of this order book will convert into revenues. The fresh orders which we have bagged, 1,178 crores in the current quarter or in 4 months. So the timeline for execution is 24 months.
Okay. So probably we'll reach for 1,400 or 1,500 crores of revenues for this year.
Yeah, definitely. If you see in the first quarter, our revenues have been 240 crores. So this revenue has got transpired from that order book of 1,185 crores. Yes. Q2 will also be the almost similar ones. Q3 and Q4, when the execution for the new projects will also start, so there will be a sharp increase in the top line. This we expect from Q3 and onwards.
Understood, sir. Thank you so much for answering my questions, and all the best.
Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Mr. Dinesh Kulkarni from Finsight Group. Please go ahead, sir.
Hello, sir. Am I audible?
Yeah.
Sir, thank you for giving me the opportunity. You know, good set of numbers as well. Sir, I just want to understand, how do you think the outlook is for the next, say, 2-3 years? Because we have been seeing, witnessing, you know, some slowdown across some certain sections in space, and which is getting reflected in the stock price of various companies, you know, including us. So what's your outlook here for the next 2-3 years? Do you think there are enough projects that we can bid for and win? Yep, if you could, you know, elaborate something on that.
First of all, let me give you an update on the financial numbers. If you could just recall my speech wherein I confirmed you the numbers for the first quarter. So we have had a standard quarter wherein the top line has increased by 17%, EBITDA by 25%, and then PAT by 42%. So this in itself says that the performance of the company is good enough. Going forward, there are a number of opportunities which are getting opened up. We are increasing our geographical presence. We are entering into reuse ZLD space. There are a number of projects which are coming up in this sector. So to slow down in at least this water and wastewater treatment market in India, that is not happening. Rather, there is a sudden jump in the number of projects. We have 1,178 crore is the order book which we have won. There are a number of projects for which we have submitted our bids, where again we are L1, we'll be getting orders. We are bidding for the projects on a continuous basis, and the projects are coming up. So definitely, it shows a lot of traction is there in this particular segment, and it will continue. Since reuse of water and this ZLD in the industrial segment, this is also gaining momentum now.
Okay, that sounds great. So do you think, is it still possible for us to maintain at least, say, 30-40% revenue growth for the next 2-3 years with the kind of outlook we just shared?
Yeah, definitely. We look forward to having this 35-40% CAGR growth for at least next 5 years. So we understand till 2030, definitely we have that vision, and we can look forward to this type of growth.
What about EBITDA margins and CapEx, sir? What do you want to say about that? Like, can we have similar levels of margins or higher margins? And whether CapEx, will it cool off, or do you think it will sustain at current levels?
First of all, I will say, when I was asked repeatedly if the margins, EBITDA margins, to the level of around 22-24%, which we used to project time and again, these are sustainable. So basically, even after the IPO and three-quarter results are already there, similar type of margins are coming repeatedly. We want to ensure that these margins are quite possible, and we will continue to sustain these type of margins. Our guidance on the margin front, on EBITDA margins, will always remain to be in the range of 22-24%. However, we have been in a position to have still better margins against this guidance what we are giving.
Okay, and about CapEx, sir? Like, what kind of a CapEx you expect for this year and next year in absolute numbers?
Basically, for the execution side, if I say so, our fixed assets, these are not bloated at all. So we are moving on an asset-light model. We do have that appetite of going ahead for some of the HAM projects. So we will limit our HAM projects to an extent that our debt-to-equity ratio doesn't get bloated. Means there should not be an extreme. We'll keep it at a level of somewhere around one.
Okay. That really sounds great, sir. Thank you very much, and all the best.
Thank you.
Thank you. Participants, if you wish to ask a question, you may press star and one on your touchtone telephone. The next question is from the line of Mr. Manish Gupta from Equinox Investment Advisors. Please go ahead.
Hello, sir. Am I audible?
Yes, sir.
Yeah.
Please go ahead.
Sir, thank you for taking my question. Sir, in the first quarter, we have, like, received 1,100 crores of orders. So for the rest of the year, how much order inflow would you reasonably expect?
For this financial year, we have given an order guidance in the range of 2,500 crores. So around 1,200 crore is the order book which we have got. So there is a balance of around 1,300 crore which we are expecting. We do expect that we will be in a position to outdo this number as well. So at least for the time being, I will say another 1,300 crore is the order book what we are looking for as soon as possible.
All right. All right. Sir, while government remains our largest, or let's say even the only customer that we have, Is there any relevance of our products in the private sector? Any chance that the company can de-risk or diversify into private sector, sir?
Basically, the sector in itself, because it is more of a social sector, so it will drive maximum traction from the government itself. But there are some opportunities which are definitely available in the B2B segment. Like there can be some water treatment opportunities coming up from the thermal power plants which are being set up, or the refineries through maybe IOCL or BPCL. So wherein the company can find it in its interest. So we will always be open to entering into that segment as well as and when the opportunity permits us.
All right, sir. And so my last question would be that what do you feel are the main challenges in front of the company in the next few years? Is it high competitive intensity when you are bidding for tenders, or is it the slow payment from government organizations, or any other factor that you would want to highlight?
I will say last financial year, FY25, as such, if I see from the cash flow point of view, was a bit challenging. And those who were mainly in the JJM, they were having some tough times. But we were having a product mix in there from JJM, Namami Gange, Amrut, Multilateral, CDPs. So that way, we were fairly comfortable. Our cash flow cycles were also very smooth. And we could move on and we could achieve a decent growth in the company. So as such, if I see forward, so if I say the worst is over and that we our order book in JJM is also now that is too small. And all other sectors, all other missions, the funds are sufficiently available and funds are being released on time. So as such, we don't foresee such type of challenges. Now, if we see to the level of work which is coming up, so I can say competition is always there, but the demand-supply gap in itself says that the decent profitability that can be easily ensured and the good projects are always available for us to continue bidding and bagging the new projects. So that way, I don't foresee that there are any challenges which we foresee at all.
All right. And so finally, could you throw some color on the cybercrime fraud that has happened? Is it, what was the nature of the fraud and other details if you could share?
Maximum I have covered in my speech, basically a person impersonated as being Manishian and put my DP on his mobile and instructed team for some funds to be transferred. So it has been an unfortunate incident which has happened in the company. So the main part to mitigate, for we have taken up the basic mitigation measures. Around 2.5 crore has come back into the company. Another 0.6 crore is what we look for. Maybe another 1 month's time or so, it should come back. And investigations are already underway. And just to mitigate any financial losses to the company, myself and Sanjay ji, we have taken a hit on our own and we are forming our salaries. There was a next part of the requirement to strengthen the process or the SOPs. So that we have done so that this process of cyber fraud that does not impact the company in future at all.
All right, sir, sir. Thank you very much and all the best, sir, for the recovery as well as the future results of the company. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Mr. Dhananjay from Sunidhi Securities. Please go ahead, sir.
Yeah, thanks for the opportunity. Just wanted to know this solar project we have acquired. So have we done the financial closure and how long it will take to complete this project, and are we bringing some equity partner as well for this project?
First of all, we have secured two solar assets
One of the asset is a 40 megawatt solar asset in Odisha, Bolangir area. It is an asset of SL Infra, wherein PTC was lender. So PTC has gone for the substitution, and we have purchased this in reverse auction from PTC. The agreements are underway right now. It is expected to be executed within this month. The term loan financial closure is also underway, and we expect that by the time this agreement is complete, so the term loan sanction will also be there from the bank. So another 1 month's time or so, we can expect this closure, and then we can move on with the completion of project. For 24 megawatt is already installed, for which PCOD is already there on the said project, and there is a revenue generation in terms of the power which is getting generated from the project. The second one, it is a 29 megawatt solar power project in Maharashtra. So this particular project is from MSEDCL, in which there is an SFA, State Financial Assistance, of 3.2 crore per megawatt. We are just on the verge of finalizing, and the process is ongoing for tying up the term loan from the bank. So we do expect that another 1 month to 1.5 months' time, all this will be in place, and we will be moving forward for the execution of the project just after the monsoon is over.
Okay. So what will be the EPC value, remaining value for both the project, and have we included these order in our order book?
These orders are directly pertaining to our subsidiary, EIE Renewables. So these orders are not basically part of Enviro directly, so that 1,178 crore does not include these projects.
Okay, and we are not going to execute on our own, or we will hire some third party, I mean, because we are in water sector, and so how we are going to execute this project?
We are building up our capacities. Basically, we have formed a subsidiary in the name of EIE Renewables. So these two projects are subsidiaries of EIE Renewables itself. So basically, EIE Renewables will act as the parent company for these projects. We are building up the execution capacities for executing renewable projects in that particular company. So EIE Renewables will take up the EPC of these one.
And we also have this annuity revenue coming, I mean, this quarter about 6.5 crore, and last year it was about 1,200 crore. So what is this annuity revenue?
Basically, we have one of the project at Bareilly, for which the COD was achieved last year. So the annuities, it is almost 1 year now, so the annuities are coming every quarter. So it is that portion of the annuity which is coming on a quarterly basis.
Okay, and how long it will come, this annuity income?
It will continue to come for another 15 years.
Okay. And lastly, on O&M order book, which is about 950 crore. So, I mean, most of the project you must have 10 years or 15 years kind of O&M. So how do you see O&M revenue going ahead in terms of overall, like last year you did 30 crore. So is it going to go up, let's say 50, 100 crore in next 2, 3 years?
Yeah, definitely. These order, this O&M order book, so for any project it is ranging between 5 to 15 years. So at an average you can take it to be somewhere around 10 years. So the O&M revenue is going to shoot up with some of the projects which we are under the execution phase right now, which will go into commissioning. And once the commissioning is done, so it will go into operation and maintenance phase. So we foresee that from FY27, the O&M revenue should increase to somewhere around 70-75 odd crores.
Okay, and what is the EBITDA margin you are getting in this O&M? I mean, it will be much higher compared to our existing margin, right?
Yeah, O&M margins are in the range of 30-35%.
Okay. Okay, that is all from my side. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Participants, you are requested to restrict your questions to two. If you have any follow-up questions, we request you to rejoin the queue. The next question is from the line of Mr. Ashish from InvestQ PMS. Please go ahead, sir.
Yes, thank you for this. So I'm attending your call for the first time. Just wanted to check, I mean, our return ratios and our margin, both are excellent. Given the kind of business that we are into, what is the kind of niche that we operate in? Because in project business, typically we haven't seen such kind of numbers on the margins and the returns, basically. So could you explain, I mean, how does this be, I mean, is there less competition or we do something which is different where we make such margins?
Basically, it depends the way any of the project is carried forward. So basically, we are doing entire project in-house. We have our own execution teams in-house along with our in-house design teams, wherein we find our prudence in providing the most viable solutions, as well as we are having the in-house capabilities which prevent any subletting of our margins, strengthens our capacity to execute the projects well ahead of time and keeping the quality of execution in control. So these all combined are making us to earn the margins of what we are attaining right now.
Okay. And sir, if you could give a broader picture of how the ordering activity is likely to be, I mean, what's the feeler that you are getting? Because I think you have been guiding, I missed the initial commentary, but I think you've been guiding for a very high growth in terms of revenue growth. And that is a function of good ordering that would be happening from that you are expecting, basically. So how are you looking at the overall broader picture for the next 3-4 years in terms of ordering activity under the various schemes of the government?
If we talk about one of the key schemes of the government, which is Amrut 2 mission, so the total budgetary outlay of Amrut 2 mission is approximately 3 lakh crore. Out of which around 30,000 crore has been spent till FY25. So balance left is around 2.7 lakh crore. And the estimated timeline right now is 2029. So if we just look into this one scheme itself, so it leaves a lot of room for everybody and a lot of work is available for all the players in this particular segment to work on. So our revenue guidance of 35% to 40%, that shows a clear visibility at least for next 4 to 5 years on a continuous basis. Since the number of projects are humongous and we are entering into reuse segment, ZLD, advanced treatment technologies, so we do expect that the margin profile that we have continued till now, so we can continue with the same margin profile and we can have that revenue visibility of 35 to 40% similar type of margins which we are having right now and with good cash flows.
Lastly, sir, is the receivable cycle, which is pretty good, is it likely to remain the same? You don't see any challenges regarding the kind of payment terms that you get right now from your customers, right? Yeah, the state utility, basically. There is no doubt that this will be maintained, right? The receivables.
Even in the challenging year like FY25, we have been able to maintain our cash flows prudently, and we had been OCF pre-tax positive. So even if it's in a tough year wherein there were some issues with the release of funds in JGM, so that says that we are on a right path and our cash flow that will remain and will continue to be prudent enough. And the government, central government or state government, they are releasing their part of the funds.
the funds are basically paid, some loans are being arranged for the project, so these are all depository works. These are not moving through budgetary allocations. So that way the funds are clearly available and the projects have to move and to be completed well on time.
Okay, okay. Thank you so much, sir.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Mr. Manish Gupta from Equinox Investment Advisors. Please go ahead.
Sir, what would be the current debt as on the 30th of June?
The current debt is somewhere in the range of 0.2 debt. This is what it is, debt to equity. And if I say total debt is 222 crores. So as of this 31st March 2025, it was 234 crores. So it has gone slightly down.
Perfect. And to a previous participant's query, you were mentioning about HAM projects, aspiring to do HAM projects. So in this regard, sir, what is the internal guideline of the company regarding the IRR expectations from HAM project, and how do you see in coming years HAM project contributing what percentage of the total revenue mix? If you could share something on that.
Since HAM projects involve the financial closures and a part of funds that is to be deployed by the company as a sponsor, so we always want to have a right mix between EPC and HAM projects. So we always try to maintain that at a level of 75% to 25% for EPC to HAM. So our basic thought process is that our debt to equity ratio, that should remain comfortable. Right now it is at 0.2. Maybe if we add on some HAM projects, so it may get somewhat increased, but not to a level that we will look forward to not crossing it more than one at any point of time. Or we will take a right decision if it happens so in future.
And finally, sir, any
I'm sorry to interrupt. Yeah. Could you please rejoin the queue? We do have other
Sure.
Thank you so much. The next question is from the line of Mr. Rohan from Elverse Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, good afternoon and thanks for the opportunity. Sir, I just wanted to know, we have acquired one asset under substitution from PTC. So what is the technology in this asset being used? Because this must be older projects. And is the generation happening? Are we doing IPP here or only EPC? If you can throw some light on this, both the solar projects.
Basically, these are solar power projects. These are IPP projects. And first of all, the Odisha project, it is a 40 megawatt solar power project in which 24 megawatt is already installed. We have to install balance solar power plant of 16 megawatt. The generation is already happening and the revenues are already there. So there is a threshold level of minimum units that we have to generate, and then definitely we can go to a peak level as well. 40 million units is what is getting generated per year right now. We have to reach a threshold of 58 immediately, and then we have to move up to a level of 75 MU. This project is through SECI, so we are getting our revenues from SECI, and the power purchase agreement is signed at ₹4.1. This is project number one. In project number two, this project is basically from MSEDCL. So in this, it is a state financial assistance of 3.2 crore per megawatt after the execution of the project. So it is more of an EPC wherein almost funds are getting released on the execution of the project. Then for 25 years, the power is being sold at a rate of 0.88 rupees per unit, 25.
No, so you mentioned about 3.2 crores per megawatt of an state financial assistance.
Right.
Then that should suffice the entire project funding requirement. Then is there a need of a separate town loan for this? or to raise separate debt. And if
basically
getting suffice those raise, you will be repaying it to the state government. How is that going to work?
Basically, there can be two ways of looking into the project. One is if there in EPC, we don't require any funds, and then the generation or the IRR can happen only during the O&M phase. The second part can be, yes, we can go ahead with some project finance, wherein we do have some margins during the execution of the project, wherein we look forward to an EBITDA margin maintenance of that level, and then an IRR while this O&M phase is on. So I think the second part is prudent enough, and that is why we are entering into a small term loan or project finance from the bankers.
Okay, but then the assistance which you are getting from the state, in what form it is being given? It's a debt or is state coming as an equity partner? How it is?
No. It is directly means just like an execution, a milestone is getting achieved and that fund is going to be released.
Okay.
So the project, ultimately the project will be kept just like an asset, and it will be parked in one of the companies where this asset will be parked, and then definitely that IRR. So it will move just like an IPG, but there is that financial modeling has been done like that. The state is giving 3.2 crore during the execution, and then there is an operation maintenance of 0.88. So that financial modeling was required to be done according to that. That's all.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. Participants, you are requested to restrict 2 questions per participant. If you have any follow-up questions, we request you to rejoin the queue. The next question is from the line of Mr. Swaminathan, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Very good afternoon, sir.
Good afternoon.
Hello. Sir, my question is, as an investor, we are very happy with your quarter one performance in terms of revenue as well as the EBITDA margin. But, as an investor, I somehow feel that earning per share has little bit drop down compared to quarter one of financial year 25, sir. So can you little bit explain on that part, sir?
Mr. Swaminathan, if I'm not wrong, the earning per share has not dropped. It has marginally increased. And we are here in this segment from a long time, and we'll be there for a long, long time, and with a very good growth rate in the sector. So I will request that you continue. The performance of company will be good, and definitely that will get derived in form of the good pricing and valuation of the company in future.
Sure, sir. And sir, final one more question, sir. Well, it's not a question, and it's a worrisome point from my side. On the one hand, the company is doing the performance, operational performance excellent in terms of acquisition and in terms of the project that we are taking, and including EZLD. But on the other side, some administrative issues are happening, like fraud and recent litigation against Karnataka drainage, that makes little bit worrisome as an investor. So how we are going to handle such, because we are going to have more and more opportunity in future in terms of our order book growth. So how we are going to handle this part effectively in future, sir?
Let me explain these two parts separately. First of all, arbitrations in any of the contract, it may happen. It happens because of the understanding which both we as a contractor and then the government department, wherein they have their own thought process and we do have our own thought process. So if there is any point where there is a disconnect, then we have to go for a process which is clearly outlined in the agreement itself. we are continuing to execute the project for the same state government on a continuous basis. These arbitrations means it is a type of dispute which cannot directly handle. So these are basically points wherein one has to enter into it, and if we are right, so we'll get our part of the deals, or if they are right, so that will get subsided. So basically, entering into an arbitration doesn't say that we are in a red zone at all. This is one what we can understand. The second part is that the fraud which has happened in the company. The company is existing for the past 33 years. This is the single incident I can say which has happened. And for this cyber fraud not to happen or any such type of event which should not happen in the company at all, we are taking utmost care in future so that the systems are well in place and any such type of threat, if ever, that can be avoided.
Thank you, Manish, sir. All the best for the coming quarter, sir.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Mr. Nikhil, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Am I audible?
Yes, sir.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, sir, if I understand correctly, the Jal Jeevan issue was with respect to government upgrading the system, because in the system, probably, there was a completion to be done by 2024, and it got extended for some reason, and that is why there is a delay in funds, and it is not due to some fund issue with the central government. Because I just want an understanding from your end, is it more structural slowdown, or it will get improved in the coming, or you have already seen signs of bottoming out in release of the funds, and the things will be much better from here on?
Basically, what I know from my side, and as my understanding is, there is no issue, at least with respect to the availability of funds with the center. If same would have been the other schemes would not have moved. We are executing the project under Namami Gange and Amrutu as well. So there the position is eased out and the projects are moving smoothly and funds are also being released on time. As far as this JJM is concerned, basically we are not inclined to enter further for these projects. These are more of the pipeline schemes. We are more towards implementation of the plants and entering for the advanced wastewater and wastewater treatment technologies. So this is what we can say. At one point of time, we had these projects in JJM. We are executing these projects. Now we are more aligned towards that Amrut or multilateral agencies, Namami Gange projects, and we are moving more towards the reuse or ZLD schemes and with advanced wastewater treatment technologies. So what we can say is, yes, the worst is over. The JJM, wherein the funds could not get aligned on time, right now the position is quite eased out. We are working in the state of MP, and we are not facing at least any challenges. From the month of March, the payment cycle has eased out to a considerable extent.
Got it. Okay. Because why I was asking is center is in your other projects also, right? Because in all the projects it is central driven. So even though we are not in the Jal Jeevan much, but it should not impact the receivables with respect to our other projects, which I understand is not the case, like you explained.
Nikhilji, basically what happened in past was that if any of the project is a centrally funded or centrally sponsored scheme, so that gave the confidence that the project will move smoothly and the liquidity can be ensured. So JJM last year, what has happened is a one-off time in last 10 years. So we can just say that the worst is over and we don't foresee any such type of incident happening in future.
Got it. Great, sir. All the best, and thank you for giving me the opportunity.
Thank you.
The next question is from the line of Mr. Vineet Rajavat, an individual investor. Please go ahead, sir.
Hello. Good afternoon, sir.
Good afternoon.
Sir, I wanted to know that when you have told that you are expecting a 35 to 40% CAGR with the diversification of the business, like into solar and HAM projects, which you're expecting, your EPS will also be like in the growth range of 30 to 40%, sir?
First of all, let me clarify that the growth what we are expecting, which is this 35 to 40% CAGR growth, it is basically we are projecting from the water and wastewater treatment sector alone. So,
okay,
the growth from the renewable sector that will further get on, which will get added to the growth that which we envisage from the water and wastewater treatment sector.
Okay, sir. Thank you. And best of luck for the coming quarters.
Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, that was the last question from this session. I would now like to hand the conference over to Sanjay, sir, for closing comments.
I thank the entire team of Enviro Infra Engineers Limited for their untiring efforts, hard work and dedication, which drives the company forward to various market conditions. Also, I appreciate all of you for participating in our conference call. Please do get in touch with our investor relationship team for any further questions. Thank you, everyone.
Thank you, sir. On behalf of Enviro Infra Engineers Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your line.